Daf Yedzayin in Pesachim. We're continuing with discussion that we started already from a couple of days ago on Daf Yedalad, where the Mishnah in the first parak of Pesachim takes us on a little bit of a tangent regarding Tuma and Tahara. The Mishnah over there describes the position of Rabbi Chanina Zgan HaKohanim, who says that one is allowed to burn meat that came into contact with an av tuma together with the meat that came into contact with a vlad hatuma. Although the two meats are tame, but nevertheless one meat is on a higher degree of tuma than the other. In fact, one meat is a rishon, and the other meat, as the Gemara went on to discuss, is a shlishi. And by burning the two together, essentially what you're going to be doing is making the shlishi into a sheni by having it come into contact with a rishon. As per our discussion that we've had already for the past number of days. The Mishnah then brought in the position of Rameir. Rameir says, what do you see from here? Midivrei Mamanu. We learn from those words that one is allowed to burn Truma Tahara and Truma Tameya together on Erev Pesach. Assuming the Truma is Chametz, the Truma needs to be destroyed. So what one is allowed to do, according to Rameir, is take the two of them together and burn them together, even though you're going to be being Metame, the Truma Tahara, as you're burning it together with the Truma Tameya. Rav Yossi is astounded. Rav Yossi cannot imagine how Rabbi Meir arrived at that conclusion, especially after the opinions of Rabbi Chanina Zgan HaKohanim, followed then by Rabbi Akiva, because there's a clear difference between the two cases. In the cases of Rabbi Chanina Zgan HaKohanim, you already are starting with Tumah and Tumah, and all you're doing is being Mosif al Tumah, you're just adding to the Tumah. But it cannot imagine, one cannot fathom how you can just simply take Truma Tahara and burn it together with Truma Tameya. This was the point of Rabbi Yossi back in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi therefore fundamentally disagrees with the position of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi says that one cannot burn Truma Tameya with Truma Tahara. It only begs the question, Rabbi Yossi seems to be making a very solid point, and what exactly would be the counter response to Rabbi Yossi? How do we defend Rabbi Meir? So this is a question that we've been dealing with now in the Gemara for the past number of days. The Gemara is on Daf Yedalad, Tez Vav, and Tez Zayin all have been responding to this question. And on the bottom of Tez Vav Amud Beis, so the Gemara suggested an approach, an alternative approach, a new approach by Rabbi Yirmiyah the Amora, who suggests a different approach in terms of how to understand the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Perhaps the discussion in the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina Zgan HaKohanim is dealing with the following case. Maybe the case under question is where the meat that touched the avatama is clearly a rishon, and not only is it a rishon, but it's tamei min haTorah. The meat that touched the vlad haTorah very possibly could be that it became tamei by coming into contact with a liquid. So what, that it came into contact with a liquid? Well, we don't know, but we learned yesterday that liquids may in fact be the recipient of tumah, but liquids to convey tumah, to transmit tumah, may not in fact be a din d'oraisa, but may only be a din d'rabbanan. And what Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests is that this is exactly the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Whereas Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that mashkin are not mitame mida oraisa, right? The Gemara quotes a braisa on the very bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis that suggests this as well, that according to Rav Meir, Mashkin are not Mitame Mida Araisa. So that means then that in the case of Rabbi Chanina Zgan HaKohanim, what essentially is happening is Min HaTorah, I'm burning meats where one is Tame and the other is Tahora. And that's why, now Mida Rabbanan, that second piece of meat is Tame. And yes, I'm being Mosif ala Tumma, but I'm only being Mosif on a Tumma, which is the Rabbanan. But Midda Araisa, on a Torah level, it's really meats that are Tame and Tahor. And that then would lead Rav Meir to his conclusion that just like you're allowed to burn meats that are Tame and Tahor, at least on a Araisa level, one is also allowed to burn Chametz on Erev Pesach, Truma Tahor and Truma Tameya together. And that could be how Rabbi Meir understands our Mishnah, and that's how Rabbi Meir can draw a conclusion from the position Rabbi Chanina is going to go on him. Rabbi Yossi is not going to draw that conclusion, and the Gemara explained yesterday in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, the reason why Rabbi Yossi is not going to draw that conclusion is because Rabbi Yossi fundamentally disagrees. He's of the opinion that Mashkin are mitame min haTorah, and therefore in the above scenario where I had Sheretz touch a Mashka and Mashka touching the meat, that meat that touched the Vlad HaTumah is Tamei Min HaTorah, not Min HaRabbanan, but Min HaTorah. And consequently, what that means now is that I'm burning meats together, the two meats that are together, they're both Tamei Min HaTorah. So then, the only thing that we learn from Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim is that one can be Mosif al HaTumah, but one cannot actually make something Tameh at all. So that then proves to be really the machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi in our Mishnah, whether Mashkin or Tameh Midaraisa or not Tameh Midaraisa. Then over the course of yesterday's daf on Tes Zion, the discussion then took us to a Mishnah in Adios where we quoted the opinion of Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer is recorded in the Mishnah in Adios, says that Mashkin in the Azara are not Tameh at all. The lashon of the Mishnah is Mashkin Beis Mitbachaya Dachain. That Mashkin of the Beis Mitbachaya, Mitbachaya is the term used for the area in the Beis Hamikdash in the Azara where the meats were prepared to be offered on the Mizbeach. So there's blood and there's water over there, the blood of the animal and the water that's used to clean the animal. So these are not susceptible to Tumah at all. Now the simple pshat of Yossi ben Yoezer, and this is the pshat taken by Rav, is that when he says Dachin, when he says Tahor, he means Tahor Lagamre, meaning that it not only is not Metame others, it's not Metame itself. It doesn't become Tame itself. Meaning according to Yossi ben Yoezer, as explained by Rav, Mashkin is simply does not become Tameh on a Torah level. Now, Midrabanan, the rabbis impose Tumah on Mashkin, that it becomes Tameh, that's going to transmit Tumah to something else, but on a Torah level, it does not become Tameh at all. And once we're in the base of Mikdash, so we could revert back to Divrei Torah, the general rule of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, there's no Isuri D'Rabban in the base of Mikdash, and so therefore all liquids in the base of Mikdash are not susceptible to Tumah at all. Now Shmuel did not have that understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer. Shmuel's understanding is that what Yossi ben Yoezer meant is that it is going to become Tameh min HaTorah, it just won't transmit Tumah to something else min HaTorah. That's all Yossi ben Yoezer meant, but he certainly did not mean that it is totally impervious to Tumah. These are our two understandings of Yossi ben Yoezer, and obviously, according to Rav, we have really a new chiddush, a real change of thought. Whereas opposed to the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, were basically revolved around this idea of whether or not Mashkin can be mitame others, but both agree that Mashkin themselves become tame on a Torah level. But at least according to Rav, as he understands Yossi ben Yoezer, really we have a new shita, which is that Mashkin don't become Tameh at all. This is what we saw over the course of Daf Tet Zayin, and then the Gemara and Daf Tet Zayin, then from that point forward, just proceeds to challenge Rav time and again, where there seems to be a number of psukim and braisos that indicate that Mashkin are Tameh, and the Gemara went into a full defense of Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer. We're now on the second side of Tet Zayin, Tet Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to continue challenging Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer, and we are beginning in the Gemara on about 10 lines, no less than 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Starting with the last word in the line is Tata Shma, the Gemara now quotes a Mishnah. Dam shenitma v'zarka b'shogeg hurtza b'meza lo hurtza. If I have done the blood that becomes Tameh, and it is sprinkled. We know that after you shecht an animal, so then we go into the next three avodas. Shechit is the first of the four avodas of every karban. Followed then by kabbalas adam, the capturing of the blood. Followed then by the holacha, the walking it over to the mizbeach. Followed then by zrikas hadam. So we also know that in order for the blood to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, it has to be kosher. It has to be roi. What if the blood becomes Tameh? So then lechatchila, one should not sprinkle on the mizbeach. What if one did? So generally speaking, once the carbon becomes disqualified, that's it, story is over. However, Tumah, which the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, there are already a number of kulas, a number of leniencies when it comes to Tumah. So by Tumah, it does not necessarily have to be Tahor, it could be Tameh. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to explain that basically what enables carbon or the blood of a carbon to be sprinkled on the mizbeach and for it to be accepted is the tzitz. The tzitz is the head plate by worn by the Kohen, and the Gemara tells us, based on Psukim, that the tzitz creates a ritzui, creates an acceptance of the blood, even though the blood becomes tame. All that stated, however, what becomes clear is the following. That the blood can become Tameh, meaning it is the whole discussion is working with the premise that blood can become tamei. So the dam shenim of zarka b'shogeg hurtsa b'mezel lahurtsa. So if it was sprinkled b'shogeg, meaning if we did not know that we should not have done it lechatchila and we sprinkled anyway, so then it will create a ritzui. But b'mezel lahurtsa, but if done intentionally, so then it does not create a ritzui. Rashi points out that even this position of mezel lahurtsa only means that we can't eat the meat of the carbon, but nevertheless the bomb still get a kapar because it sits is in fact meratzim. Anyway, as Rashi points out, what you see over here is that dam kachem, the blood of a carbon, which is mashkin based mitbachaya, is nevertheless mekabel tuma. And certainly we're speaking on a daraisa level. And how do we understand Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer? Because according to Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer, blood is not mekabel tuma at all. So the Gemara's response is midrabanan udeloker of Yossi ben Yoezer yitzreda. So the Gemara points out that maybe this tuma's dam is a din derabanan, and the author of this brisa is not subscribing to the viewpoint of Yossi ben Yoezer, because according to Yossi ben Yoezer, as understood by Rav, blood is not tamei on any level, neither on a deraisa level nor on a derabanan level. So the Gemara says simply that the author of this brisa just simply doesn't subscribe to the position of Yossi ben Yoezer. As Tosos points out, and you could take a look at the second Tosos on the Amud, I mean, once we're already saying that the brisa is not going like Yossi ben Yoezer, truth of the matter is that we could have given a host of other answers as well. Meaning that we didn't even have to suggest that the blood is tamei on a derabanan level. We could even have gone so far as to say that the blood is tamei on a deraisa level, as we already saw a number of Tanaim who are of the opinion that mashke are tamei min ha-Torah. So the Gemara's answer that the blood is only tamei midrabanan, lav davka, says Tosfos, it could be that it's also tamei midaraisa as well. Tosfos goes on to argue that maybe there's benefits to saying that the blood is only tamei midrabanan, not midaraisa. See Tosfos for that discussion. But in the meantime, however, the simple deflection is the author of the brisa doesn't agree to Rav Yossi ben Yoezer. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another brisa, amat sits meratza. What does it sits serve to create a ritzui, an acceptance for? Al adam v'labas v'achel shenitma, whether it's the blood or the meat or the fats of the animal that become tamei, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'onis, bein b'ratzon, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. So whether or not these parts of the animal becomes tamei, shogeg, mezid, onetz, ratzon, yachid, tzibur. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi has a discussion over the subtleties between the differences between mezid versus ratzon. Anyway, but again, from this brisa, it becomes evidently clear that blood can become tamei. Again, what is Yossi ben Yoezer going to do with such a brisa, especially the way Rav understands Yossi ben Yoezer? And again, the Gemara's response, the same response, midrabanan, that the tumor we're talking about is the tumor derabanan, udaloki Yossi ben Yoezer yitzreda, and the author of this brisa, again, is not going in parallel with the position of Yossi ben Yoezer. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another brisa, Menasa Aaron is avon kadashim. Aaron is able to bear the burden of the kadashim, the sin of the kadashim. V'chiyaza avon who knows. Now the Gemara quotes this brisa, and the brisa asks a simple question: which sin are we talking about? If we're talking about pigol, well, the Torah says lo yaratzeh. The mizbech will not simply accept the disqualification of pigol. And if it's nosar, so then the Torah says lo yechashev. It just simply is not to be considered. And again, take a look at Rashi over here, where Rashi goes on to describe that when we're discussing nosar over here, we do not mean, the Gemara does not mean nosar in the traditional sense of meats of the animal that are left over chutz, after it's allotted time, but rather nosar over here is just another category of pigol, meaning there are two forms of pigol. There is chutz zmano, chutz mkomo, where when the kohen did the avoda, he either had an intention to eat it outside of its designated time, that's chutz zmano, or outside of its designated location, that's chutz mkomo. And over here, as Rashi goes on to explain, you could see the long Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud, where Rashi there describes that that's what nosar means in this context. It means chutz mkomo. So the Gemara, nevertheless, what we get from the Braisa is that if the disqualification of the carbon is pigol, that's not going to work. And even the Kohen cannot bear that sin. And if it's the disqualification of chutzim komo, also it's not going to work. Ha'inu nosei ela avon tama shehutra mechala b'tzibur. So what will it be able to bear? It's going to be able to bear tuma, meaning that if part of the carbon becomes tameh, if the blood of the animal becomes tameh, so nevertheless, the tzitz will be meratza. The Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz is going to serve as a way of accepting such a disqualification. Why would the tzitz be able to do that? So the Gemara over here says, because we see elsewhere where we're able to bypass tuma. Tuma shehutra b'tzibur. We're going to see a lot of this over the course of the later part of the Masechta, where if the majority of the Jewish people are tameh, we are allowed to bring the Karban Pesach b'tuma. All this is based on psukim. Rashi over here quotes some of the psukim. But nevertheless, we see that tuma is hutra b'tzibur. So we see that tuma is bypassable. So just like we've seen that tuma can bypass the tzibur, so therefore, if the dam, the blood of a carbon, is sprinkled on the mizbech in a state of tuma, so the tzitz is able to be meratza. Now, once again, the Gemara's hammering on the same issue, which is that according to Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer, how does blood ever become tameh? Blood should not become tameh, because mashkin beis mitbachaya is dachein. The liquids of the beis hamikdash, of the carbon, are totally impervious to tuma. It's not going to become tame at all. How do you understand this brisa? So my love tuma's dam. So the Gemara answers over here. Aren't we talking about blood? Amar Rav Papa lo tuma's kamatzim. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe over here we're talking about the parts of the animal that are going in the mizbech. Maybe we're not talking about an animal at all. Maybe we're talking about it as a mincha of a carbon, and the mincha of a carbon is offered up onto the mizbeach. Not entire mincha. Obviously, we're talking over here about the komets, about the fistful of the mincha that's being offered up onto the mizbeach, and that's what the brisa is referring to. And if that's the case, so then we don't have a kasha, because we're not talking about blood, we're not talking about liquid. Once again, the Gemara now three times has tried to attack the position of Rav's understanding Yossi ben Yoezer, and all three times the Gemara defended his position. It comes out now that we're still in defense of Yossi ben Yoezer, as understood by Rav. Mashke do not become tame at all. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another brisa, Hein yisa ish basar kodesh, beknaf bigo, benaga, beknafo, al alechem. Before we go further, let's just a little bit of background. We're in Trei Asar right now. We're in Sefer Chagai. Chagai, one of Trei Asar, two prakim long. So, in the first parak of Chagai, Chagai gives musar to the Jewish people, where they are lazy in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Navi chastises the Jewish people. These are the Jewish people who are returning from the first of the Galus Bavel. We're after 70 years of being in Bavel, so in our return back to Yerushalayim, so the Navi Chagai says that we are not focused on the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That is the first parak of Chagai. And the second parak of Chagai, the Navi goes on to try to encourage the Jewish people to building the Beit HaMikdash, and he asks the Kohanim at the end of the second parak, at the end of Sefer Chagai, he asks the Kohanim some basic questions regarding Tuma and Tahara. In the Pesukim themselves, you can see this in the second parak of Chagai, Pesukim, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So let's go through the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself is going to take us through what exactly the questions were. The Gemara here is quoting from Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. And we're going to see now, based on the series of questions that was asked from Chagai to the Kohanim, and based on their answers, once again, the Gemara is going to try to demonstrate whether or not liquids are subject to Tuma. And again, really, this revolves around the question of, is Yossi ben Yoezer's position defensible? Tashma, the Gemara now quotes the pasuk from Chagai, Hein yisa ish basar kodesh, beknaf bigdo. So the pasuk in Chagai describes, now this is a test. Chagai is asking the Kohanim questions about Tuma Tahara. As Rashi over here writes, you can take a look at Rashi inside, where Rashi basically writes that the reason why he's testing the Kohanim is because it's been 70 years now since we've been operating the Beis HaMikdash, that 70 years without working knowledge of Tuma Tahara, and now as they're getting ready to build the second Beis HaMikdash, Chagai wants to know whether or not they are prepared, they know enough in order to handle the ins and outs of operating the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a test. So the test goes like this. Hey, Nisa, Ish Basar Kodesh B'Knaf Bigdo. So let's say a person has Basar Kodesh. Now, Basar Kodesh in the Pasuk, as Rashi goes on to explain over here, is not referring to actual Basar Kodesh, the meat of a carbon, but Basar Kodesh over here is a euphemism. It's actually referring to a sheretz. So the story starts off with the sheretz being held in the garment. V'Nagab B'Knafol Alachem. And then what happens is it touches the bread, the Ela Nazid, and then it touches a lentil, the Ela Yain, and then it touches wine, the Ela Shemen, and then it touches oil, the Kol Machal, so or any other food, meaning oil or any other food, Hayikdash. And so what his question is, Chagai's question to the Kohanim is, does it become Kaddish? Again, another euphemism, meaning this last thing that it touched, does it become tummy? So let's quickly review. Basically, we have a sheretz touching bread, bread touching lentil, lentil touching wine, and wine touching oil. So if you're following the chart, the pattern over here, the sheretz obviously is an avatumah, it's a source of tumah, touching lechem, which is a rishon, touching nazid, which is a sheni, touching wine, which is a shlishi, touching shemen, which is a revi'i. And so essentially what he's asking is a very basic question. Is there a revi when it comes to carbon? And their response is no. That is the question and answer of Sefer Chagai. Now, if what we know is to be so, and we were asked the question, did the Kohanim get it right or did they get it wrong? So you and I would answer, well, I don't know about you, but I would answer that the Kohanim did not get the question right. We know, we've been saying this since the beginning of the entire discussion of Tumah Tahara, that when it comes to Chulin goes up to a Sheni. When it comes to Truma, Truma goes to a Shlishi. And when it comes to Kodesh, when it comes to Karbanos, Karbanos go up to Revi. So if we're understanding the Pasuk correctly, so essentially now what he's asking, what Chag is asking the Kohanim is there a Revi by Kodesh? And their answer is no, there is no Revi by Kodesh. So if we were the grader for the test, so we would have graded this one wrong. Ostensibly, that is how it should be graded. Meanwhile, as we're going to see, now as we turn to Daf Yezayin, the Gemara is going to present over here a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in terms of whether their answer was correct or incorrect. Vama Rabbi Shtabish Kohani. So, and what was Rav's response? Rav's response was, the Kohanim got the answer wrong. Which is what we would have said as well. I think Kipshuto, the simple pshat is, like Rav, that they would have gotten the answer wrong. And why would they have gotten the answer wrong? Because the halacha is that there is Revi B'Kodesh, like we've been saying since the beginning. Okay. Adkan, that is now the Pesukim and Chagai, the test that Chagai gave the Kohanim, the answer they gave, and then the grading of their answer. Now, to us, all this becomes significant. Why? Because remember now, we are looking at whether or not Mashke is Tameh min HaTorah. And according to Rav, Mashke is not Tameh at all. Nor does it become Tameh, nor does it transmit Tumah to something else. So now, let's see if we can understand. Meaning, what's going on over here? Sheretz touched Lechem, Lechem's a Rishon. Lechem touched Nazid, Nazid is a Sheni. Nazid is lentil. Then the Nazid touched Yayin. So now, if we're subscribing to the view of Yossi ben Yoezer, as explained by Rav, so that would now mean that all liquids are not subject to tumah. And if that's true, so then the yain shouldn't be tumah at all. And then the next step in the pasuk where the yain touches shemen, so of course there's no transmission of tumah. In fact, there can't be transmission of tumah as the yain itself isn't even tumah. So now if you think about it, you realize, I don't understand, well, this doesn't make any sense. How come there is no... The Kohanim got the answer wrong. They said that the Shemen is not a Revi. We know that the Shemen is a Revi. In fact, Rav says when he graded their answers, he said they got it wrong. And according to Rav, the Shemen is a Revi. And the question over here is obvious. Well, according to Rav, how can the Shemen be a Revi? The Shemen's a liquid. How can the Yain be a Shlishi? The Yain's a liquid. This is the Gemara's question against Rav. Maybe you could suggest, Rashi points out over here, if you take a look at this top Rashi on the Amud, the Rashi of Yishavish Kahani, maybe you could suggest that the questions that we're asking were not Tumah D'Oraisa, but rather Tumah D'Rabbanan, and maybe what Chagai is asking is on a D'Rabbanan level, is there going to be Tumah, and that would be able to sidestep, but the Gemara points out that that's not going to be a satisfactory explanation over here, because we are explaining Yossi ben Yoezer, and if you remember, Yossi ben Yoezer says Dachain. Dachain means it's not Tame at all. Not on a Doraisa level, not on a Durabana level. So even if we were operating on a Durabana level, it still would not be a good explanation for Yossi ben Yoezer, who says that it's not Tame at all. So the Gemara's answer is Ela L'Rav, I'm sorry, Midi Hutaima, top line of Yudzayin Amaral, Midi Hutaima Ela L'Rav, Rav Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya Tani. Ava Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya Mitamei. So the Gemara says, look, we are trying to defend the position of Rav. There's one more piece of information that we need to know. And that is when Rav learned the Braisa, the Mishnah in Adios regarding Yossi ben Yoezer, it was very specific. It says Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya. Mit Bechaya from the word butcher. A mitbach. So in other words, only those things which are going to be involved in the animal. Which liquids are involved in the animal? The blood of the animal and the water used to clean the animal. So in other words, even when he says that the mashkin are tahor legamre, he's only speaking specifically about the mashkin of blood and water. If that's so, then we don't have a question at all. Because what was the question that Chagai asked the Kohanim? The question was, bread touching lentil, lentil touching wine, and wine touching oil. The liquids happen to be not water and not blood. So in other words, yes, even Rav, who explains to Yossi ben Yoezer, that Tumas beis mit bachaya dachain, sorry, mashkin beis mit bachaya dachain, that's not talking about oil and wine, it's only talking about blood and water. And so therefore, we are once again defending the position of Rav successfully. Gufa the Gemara now goes back, Amar Ishtabish Kohanim, sorry, Gufa Rav Amar Ishtabish Kohanim, Shmuel Amar Lo Ishtabish Kohanim. So now, we're going to talk more about this question and answer of Chagai and the Kohanim, and once again, we're going to look at the two opinions amongst the Amoraim, whether or not they got the answer wrong. As we already discussed, Rav says that they did in fact get the answer wrong. There is a Revi B'Kodesh, and Shmuel says they did not get the answer wrong. Rav Amar Ishtabish Kohanim, Revi B'Kodesh Ba'amina, V'Amalei Tahor. So according to Rav, what was the question? The question was Revi B'Kodesh, and they said it's Tahor, and they're not correct, because Revi B'Kodesh extends even to... Sorry, Tumas Kodesh extends even to a Revi. So that is the opinion of Rav. Shmuel, Amar Lo Ishtabish. So Shmuel says, no, they did not get the answer wrong because we misunderstood the question. Kahani chamish bekosh ba minayu va'amrele tahor. So the Gemara says that according to Shmuel, the question was only not on a Revi Bekodesh, but the question was on a Chamishi Bekodesh. That was the question that Chagai was asking the Kohanim. Meaning, does Tuma on Kodesh extend all the way to a Chamishi? And on that question, the answer was, no, it does not. And they're right about that. Now, Bishlam al-Rab hainu dichtiv arba alechem nazir bayan v'shemen. So the Gemara says, Rav's position is a lot easier to defend because look at the list. The list only has four items after the sharetz. It has lechem, which is a rishon, nazid, lentil, which is a sheni, yayin, which is a shlishi, and shemen, which is a revi. So it comes out that it's a lot easier to look at the question as explained by Rav, Elo Shmuel Chamisha Menale, but according to Shmuel, where did you get five from? So, Miksiv, Anaga, Knafo, Anaga, Biknafo, Ksiv, Bamesh, Anaga, Biknafo. So the Gemara in defense of Shmuel says, yeah, if the Pasuk would have said, Anaga, Knafo, that the bread touched the Knaf, meaning the corner of the garment, and when we say corner of the garment, we're not talking about the actual garment itself. If we were talking about the garment itself, we wouldn't be saying corner. But in other words, we're talking about the actual garment. I'm sorry, we're talking about the sheretz that's in the corner of the garment. So if the Torah would have said, if the Navi would have said, V'naga knafo, so then Shmuel says, then I would agree with you. Then the lechem touched the actual sheretz itself. But that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk in the Navi says, V'naga biknafo, and the Gemara's understanding, Shmuel's understanding, is that there was something else in the corner of the garment. So the sheretz touched this other item, whatever it was. It could be a kli, whatever it was. And that touched the lechem, which then touched the nizid, which then touched the yayin, which then touched the shemen. If that's true, so now we understand the position of Shmuel, which is that he was asking a chamishi betuma, and a chamishi betuma is in fact tahor, which is what they answered, and they got the question right. Tashma, the Gemara goes on. What if a tamei nefesh were to touch all these things? So a tamei nefesh obviously is an ava tuma, and it's just like a sheretz. And their answer was yitma. Okay? So now what we have is a second question, meaning this test was comprised of two questions. I guess we call it more like a quiz, but the test was comprised of two questions. And the second question, he took out a sheretz and he replaced it with tumas mace. And their answer was a different answer. They said it's going to become tumet. So now let's see if we can understand how the second question and answer went, both according to the opinion of Rav and according to the opinion of Shmuel. So Bishlam Shmuel midach lo ishtabish asam nami lo ishtabish. Now, for Shmuel, the Gemara wants to make the argument. You see that they got the second question right. So hard to imagine, says the Gemara. The Gemara argues on behalf of Shmuel. It's very hard to imagine that they got the second question right, but they got the first question wrong. I'm not sure if it's that hard to imagine. Many times in the educational process, we do find that you sometimes get one question right and the other question wrong. But I guess the Gemara's understanding is that, look, these are basic questions regarding Tumat Tahara. Either they know basic halach of Tumat Tahara or they don't know basic halach of Tumat Tahara. And so therefore, the Gemara's assumption is that if they know the halach is regarding Tumas Meis, they know the halach is of Sheretz as well. That's the Gemara's assumption. So that would be good for Shmuel. Ela l'rab ma'ishna hachad yishtabish ma'ishna hasam d'lo yishtabish. But the Gemara says, but according to Shmuel, how is it that they got the second question right? We can all agree that they got the second question right, but they got the first question wrong? How does that work? So Amrav Nachman Amrav Baravua bikin heim b'tumas meis v'hem bikin heim b'tumas sheretz. So the first proposed answer of the Gemara is exactly, meaning they got the first question wrong and they got the next question right. Because when it comes to Tumas Meitz, everyone knows about the halachas of Tumas Meitz. That's much more popular. But when it comes to Tumas Sheretz, not everyone is familiar with the halachas of Tumas Sheretz. Okay, so, in other words, one defense that we can give for Rav is, yeah, they got a 50 on the test. One question they got right, the other question they got wrong. They were prepared, they studied hard on the subject of Tumas Meis, but they weren't as fluent in the halachas of Tumas Sheretz. That's one possible way of explaining Rav. Another way, Ravina Amar Hasam Ravia HaChashlishi. Another way to explain it is that the questions were not the same questions. They were two different questions. Meaning that the first question was regarding a Sheretz. And a Sheretz touching the lechem touching the nizid touching the yayin touching the shemen. So in other words, that's Revi Bekodesh. And what they should have said is that the shemen, the last food that was touched, the oil that was touched, is in fact going to be tamei. They didn't say that. So they got that question wrong. The next question, however, was not regarding tumas meis, but meis atzmo. In other words, what happened was it didn't touch somebody who touched the mace, but it touched the mace itself. Meaning, so now, what's the mace? We know that a mace does not have the status of an avatama, but the mace itself has the status of a viavosatama. It is the granddaddy of tama. Now, if that's true, if that's correct, so now, everything jumps up a level. The lechem that touches the mace is not a rishon, but it's rather an av. The nizid is now a rishon, the yain is a sheni, and the shemen is a shlishi. And that's why they got the second question right, because they thought now that they were being asked about a shlishi l'tama, not a revi l'tama, and according to their erroneous thinking, kodesh goes up to a shlishi, and that's why it says becomes tummy. Okay, just one interesting point over here before we go on in the Gemara. We know that a human being can become an avatama, either because he has the flow coming out of his body, zavar zavar, nida yoledes, or because he touches a mace, and the mace is an avi avosatama, and therefore the person is an avatama. We also know that kelim can become an avatama. If I have a kli touch a mace, or a kli touch say tame mace, so if it's metal, or according to the Rambam, if it's anything but cheres, so then that kli is going to be an avatama. Another example would be where I have medrash, I have someone sitting, I have a zava sitting on a chair or lying down on a couch, so that object becomes an avatama. So adam can become an avatama, kelim can become an avatama. From our Gemara, as we just went through, it comes out now that food can become an avatama. The Gemara, according to Ravina, says that if the food touched the mace itself, the food becomes an avatama. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says it very clearly. Rashi, Divra Maschor, Ravina Amar, Rashi says, Ela mace mamish klamer tumas nefesh umes avi avos. If you take a look at Rashi Divra Maschor, Ravina Amar, so Rashi over there writes that we're not talking about a tame mace, but we're talking about a mace mamish, and Rashi goes on to say, klamer tumas nefesh umes avi avos atoma, velechem av, the bread is an avatoma, v'nizid rishon, and now making the nizid a rishon, the yin becomes a sheni, the shemen becomes a ishlishi. So it comes out that the way Ravina is explaining the Gemara, and the way Rashi is understanding Ravina, is that now food can become an avatama as well. This bothers Tosfos tremendously, because if you take a look at Tosfos on the Amud, the only Tosfos on the Amud, so Tosfos says that we have a klal, we have a general rule, that those things can become an avatama, or only those things which can be toveled in the mikvah. People can be toveled in the mikvah, kelim can be toveled in the mikvah, but food cannot be toveled in the mikvah. So it comes out based on this rule. Tosfos quotes it in the Gemara Nida, it's also the Gemara in Erevin. Based on this rule, so food should never be able to become an oven. So it becomes an interesting discussion. And you can see Tosfos who tries to give an approach within Rashi, but it's certainly an interesting discussion. Can food become an av hatoma? Pshuto shel Rashi and the postures of the Gemara is that food can become an av hatoma, but other Gemaras indicate that food cannot become an av hatoma, can only become a rishon. So see Tosfos for a discussion of that. In the meantime, we're back in the Gemara. We're now on Yizayin Amud Aleph. We are right in the middle of the Amud Tashma. The Gemara now, once again, is in the middle of a discussion of Chagai Hanavi testing the Kohanim and wanting to see whether or not the Kohanim know the halachas of Tumah Tahara. Tashma v'yan Chagai v'yamar kein ha'am hazeh v'chein ha'goyah lefanayinu ma'ashem. And then, as Rashi quotes the end of the pasuk, save at the korav. Let's take a look at Rashi. V'chol v'chein kol ma'isa yedeim v'asher yakrivu sham tamehu. The sounds like Chagai himself graded the kohanim, and it sounds like Chagai did not give the kohanim a good grade. The simple pshat in the pasuk, this is pasuk Yudalid, is that everything they're going to do is going to become tameh, meaning they don't know. They don't know the halachas of tama. And it comes out now that it's not gonna be good. So says Chagai the Navi. So Tashma v'yan Chagai v'yomer kein amazev v'chein agoy ezel lefanayinu Hashem bishlam l'Rav Haina dichtiv tamei. So according to Rav, good, meaning the guy, the one of the answers wrong, and that's why Chagai in despair says they're not gonna do a good job. Ela l'Shmuel. Amai tamei, but according to Shmuel, who says that they got their answers right, so then Chagai should have walked away from the conversation, from the test, being very pleased. So the Gemara answers in defense of Shmuel, itmu kamatma. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to punctuate the pasuk, not put a period at the end of the pasuk, but the Chagai is asking a rhetorical question. Meaning, according to Shmuel, the way we're going to understand the pasuk is that Chagai says, look, these people know so much, is anything going to become tamei? So the Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't seem to be pshat in the pasuk, because it says v'chein komasi adayim. Doesn't sound like he's asking a question. So the Gemara says that this is a forecast into the future, meaning that we could still say like Shmuel, they got all the questions right, and they really were knowledgeable in Tumah Tahara, and what Chagai was getting upset about was not about their lack of knowledge, but about their future behavior. Okay? Chagai knows what's going to happen in the future, so Rashi says, sure, through Nevuah. Rashi, take a look at the second wide line of Rashi, Shekukul Ma'asem, La'achrez Man Hayam Is Nave, Shekukul Ma'asem, Bevaisheni Bishar Averos. So he knew that although right now they were knowledgeable and they knew the halachos of Tumah Tahara, but in the future they were not going to behave well, and that's why Chagai was so saddened. Oh, we're in the Gemara now. We're in the middle of Yuzayin Amad Aleph Gufa Rav Tini Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya V'Lev Amar Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya. We have now machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. If you want to follow the next, let's say, 6-7 lines of Gemara, you really have to follow now the basic machlokesim that we're in the middle of. Meaning we have right now the opinion of Yossi ben Yoazer that says that Mashkin in the Beis HaMikdash are Tahor Legamre, not Mekabel Tumah, and not mitami others. That's Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoazer. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that it becomes tame, but it's not mitami others. That is one machlokas that we have to keep in mind. The machlokas of Rav and Shmuel in terms of how to understand Yossi ben Yoazer. A second machlokas is which liquids was Yossi ben Yoazer talking about? Was he talking about blood and water? That's the opinion of Rav. Or as we'll see in just a moment, was he like Levi, who says that he was talking about all liquids? Blood, water, oil, and wine, all liquids that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach. That's another possibility. Then, alright, let's hold it like that. So we have those two machloksim that we have to keep in mind. Gufa Raftani Mashke Beis Mitbechaya V'Levi Amar Mashke Beis Mitbechaya. The Gemara here quotes the machlokes between Rav and Levi in terms of which liquids Yossi ben Yoazer was talking about. Levi. So now the Gemara notes that according to Levi, what was Levi's position? That those liquids that are not tamei are blood, water, oil, and wine. So Isvir Lekishmol Damar Dachim Latame Tomasachim Aval Tomasatzman Yeshlehem. So now, according to Shmuel, What Yossi ben Yoazer meant is that they're not mitame others, but they themselves become tame. So mishkachalad denagi kula b'rishon. So fine. So in other words, how are you going to understand this pasuk in Chagai? Remember, the pasuk in Chagai was talking about the liquids of wine and oil. If he's talking about the liquids of wine and oil, so how does the oil be mitame the wine, or conversely, how does the wine be mitame the oil? Meaning, because according to, if we put together the shitas of Shmuel and Levi, we're going to arrive at a very strange conclusion, which is that liquids, all liquids, can become tamei, but do not pass tama onto anything else. So how then are we going to understand the pasuk in Chagai? So the Gemara says, well, it's very simple. What happened is that they all touched the Rishon over here being the bread. So the Gemara says, but let's say they go like Rav. You see, by Rav, it's going to be even more difficult, because according to Rav, the liquids are not mitame and not mitame. They themselves don't become tame. So according to Rav, it becomes even more problematic. Meaning, how do the liquids become tame at all? And in fact, Chagai was assuming that these liquids become tame. So So the Gemara says, what you're going to have to say is that Levi, who includes all liquids, blood, water, oil, and wine, is going to have to go like Shmuel, that they become tame, even though they're not mitame others. Now we go from the perspective of Shmuel. So it makes sense if the liquids that become tame are blood and water. So the Gemara says, good, I understand how a revi can make a chamishi, but a shlishi can make a revi. Eli savala kaveh elevi detani be mashkai beis mid bechaya. My ear, your revid lo avid chamishi. I feel a shenu shlishi nami lo avde. So, but if you go like the position of Levi, if Shmuel follow like the position of Levi, so we're never going to get to the stages of revi. Because when the oil touches the wine, or when the wine touches the oil, there's not going to be any transmission of tuma. So, al karchach kerav svirle. So it must be that Shmuel holds like Rav. Not to be too confused, but in other words, Shmuel, the Shmuel's position that liquids become tamei but don't transmit tuma, must subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav, that the only liquids that Yossi ben Yoazer was mitahir are going to be only the liquids of blood and water. Blood and water was not mentioned in the pasuk in Chagai. Oil and wine wasn't mentioned in the pasuk in Chagai, and therefore they could become tamei and be mitamei others, and that's how we get to a shlishi and to a revi.
Okay? And so all you had to do to understand the last six lines of Gemara is just simply remember the machloksim of Rav and Shmuel regarding Mashkin becoming Tame, or whether or not Mashkin become Tame, plus the machlokis between Rav and Levi in terms of which liquids Rav Yossi ben Yoza was talking about, plus the machlokis between Rav and Shmuel regarding whether or not the Kohanim got the questions right or wrong. Let's just simply say, not the easiest things to keep in mind, but that is the three machloksim and how they interplay with one another. The Gemara continues, the Tanya Kavasi de Rav, Tanya Kavasi de Levi. Gemara now quotes Brisa's supporting Rav, supporting Levi. Again, we're in the machlokis now of which liquids was Yossi ben Yoza talking about. Tanya Kavasi de Levi, Hadam Vayan, Veshemen Vamayin, Mashke Beimid Bechaya, Shenidmu Bifni, Vosil Nechutz Taharin. If they become tummy in the Beis HaMikdash, so again, they are impervious to Tumah, because Tumas Mashkin, according to Yossi ben Yoezer, is Tahor, is Dachain. And what we're going to say now is that even if it was taken outside the Beis HaMikdash, but it would become Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, it remains Tahor. Ninmu b'chutz v'ichnisim b'fnim Tumayim. So, but if they were Tumah outside and they were brought inside, they're going to be Tumah. Any of the Gemara says, is that really so? Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Mashke Beis Mit B'chaya Lo Amar Dachin Ala Ben Koman. They only are Tahor if they're in Makom, in the place, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash. My love, Le'mu'ut, Enitmu B'fnim V'otim L'chutz. Doesn't that come to exclude the scenario in which they become tummy inside, but then were taken outside? Lo, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Le'mu'ut, Enitmu B'chutz V'ichnisu B'fnim. Coming to exclude a case where they become tummy inside. Sorry, they become tummy outside and brought inside. V'ham bim komam kamar. Yeah, but what are we going to do with the word bim komam? The Gemara says, "Hachi kamar lo amr dachin ela shenitmu bim komam." We only say they're tahor when they become tummy inside the Beis HaMikdash. But again, though, the point of that braisa is that that braisa supports the position of Levi, that which liquids are dachin or tahor, all liquids that are going to go up onto the Beis HaMikdash, onto the Mizbeach. The liquids of blood and water, and oil and wine. By the way, blood we know, of course, goes on to the Mizbeach. That's the Zrikas Adam. Oil we know goes on to the Mizbeach. That goes together in conjunction with the Menachos. Wine goes up onto the Mizbeach. That's called Nesachim. When does water go up onto the Mizbeach? The answer is, I'm sure you guessed it already, on Sukkos. Sukkos, we have Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim, for 8 days of the year, there's a mitzvah to bring water up and put it up onto the Mizbeach. This is the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, not actually mentioned in the Torah itself, but the Gemara has Ramazim in the Torah that describes this mitzvah. But nevertheless, so 8 days of the year, there is a mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. Tanya Kavasi Derav, the Gemara now quotes a brisa supporting Rav, Adam Ba'amayim, Mashke Beis Mit Bechai, Shinim U'Bein Bekelim, Bein Bekarka Torah. That if I have blood or water that become Tame, whether they become Tame in a kli or in the ground, so they are Torah. Rabbi Shimon and Omer, Bekelim, Tamei and Bekarka Taharim. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and he says that if they become Tamei in a Kli, so they are Tamei, but in the ground they are going to be Tahor. And so once again we have a Brisa, and this Brisa obviously is supportive of the position of Rav. Because this Brisa says that which liquids are not going to become Tamei, and the answer is only the liquids of blood and water. We're now on the top of Yazayin Amud Beis. Amar Rav Papa. Now, let's take a look at Rashi over here, because let's take a moment just to understand the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, it depends where these liquids become tummy. If they become tummy in a kli, then the liquids are tummy, but in the ground they're going to be tahor. What's the difference between a kli versus the ground? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi is the second Rashi in the Amar, a common mitargim lei amayim. First of all, this position Rabbi Shimon is not talking about both blood and water, it's only talking about water. Udeika revius deikas Torah mikva Allah lamachtin vitzinaris. And Rashi interestingly says that as long as the water has a revius and it's in the ground, it is now a mikva. The midaraisa lamakabli tumakidich siv mikva maimiyah tahor. We know that a mikva is totally impervious to tuma. Mikva by definition means it's going to be a source of tahara, and it does not become tummy. And a very interesting Rashi, where Rashi writes that really, what's the minimum shear of a mikvah? So you ask the average person, if there's such a thing, you ask somebody what is the minimum amount, so your average answer, I would imagine, is going to be mem sa. You need 40 sa of water. In other words, what basically what we would consider to be an amount that would be able to hold a average human body. The Gemara says, Rashi says, no, that's not true. Rashi says that once you have a revias is all you need in order to create a mikvah. A revias have a mikvah medaraisa, dechiksiv, arbaim sa ba'adam hu dechsiv. Now it's true that if a person tovels in the mikvah, so he needs 40 sa. Denafkla me'eskol besaro, mayim shekol gufo ola bahen. We learn it out based on psukim. The Gemara later on will have a drasha as well. Aval kelim ketanim. But if I want to tovel a needle, a small little needle, I don't need 40 sa of water. Or I need less than that. Ein sarach ela kedeshi is kasu bimayim. All I need is that it to be submerged in water. So therefore, the total contents of the water does not need to be 40 sa. Ubatsim revias gemar gemira la delo chashiv. Now there has to be a minimum. It has to be a revias. If I have less than a revias of water, then it's not a mikvah, not even on a din d'araisa. And Rashi says, Gemara Gemirle, that's just simply a halach l'moshe mitzinai. So, l'mahave mikvah, v'kevim d'ba'ama, m'daraisa l'mitamav, v'rabbanu, d'ba'alu revias, d'mikvah, shalo yad, bilu kelim, b'pachos, me'arbeim sa'a, k'damrina b'nazir. And then, so Rashi says, here's where the Chachamim stepped in. Even though mi'ikar hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, a mikvah can serve as a mikvah, even if it's less than 40 sa'a. And so that would mean then that any pool of water that's in the ground, pool, I don't mean literally pool, I just simply mean the water was pooled there. It was collected there in the ground. Any amount of water is a mikvah min haTorah, as long as it has more than a revias. The Chachamim, however, stepped in and said that if you want to use a mikvah, even for kelim, you need 40 sa. But that's a din d'rabbana. The real din d'araisa is that the mikvah just simply needs to be any pooled water that's in the ground. So as a din de rabbanon, so the rabbi said that when you have water less than 40 sa, so that doesn't act as a mikvah, doesn't behave as a mikvah. But that's a din de rabbanon. But over here, when we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, Ukme Ada Araisa Utahorim. So we're going to revert back to the Din Daraisa, and therefore it's going to be Tahor. So now we have a better understanding of Rabbi Shimon. What Rabbi Shimon is essentially saying is that water in the Azara, pooled in the ground, is going to be Tahor. Not because of Yossi ben Yoazer in the Din of Mashkin, but simply because that water that's in the ground is as a din mikvah. What if it doesn't have 40 sa? As we just went through Rashi, it still has a din mikvah. Because min haTorah, there is no requirement to have 40 sa. Min haTorah, all you need is water collected in the ground. Just more than a revias. So in the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to revert back to the din d'oraisa. Amra papa filaman damar tumas mashkin d'oraisa mashkin beis mitbachai yochasa gemirila. Even if you have the position that Tumas Mashkin is a din d'araisa, but the waters, the Mashkin Beis Mitbachaya is halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Amalei Rav Huna Breda Rav Nassim Rav Papa Ve'ela Hadamer Rav Lazein Tumal Mashkin Kol Iker Teda Sharei Hei Yosi Ben Yosi Shreda Al Mashkin Beis Mitbachaya Dachain. So the Gemara says, what about the statement made by Rav Lazer, which is that there is no Tumas Mashkin at all? Ve'i Hilchza Gemirla Mi Gamina Mina. Now, if this is halacha Moshe Mitzinai, we do not generate halacha based on halacha Moshe Mitzinai, meaning that the application of midos, of using methodology, kavachomer, gzereshava, binyanav, that's only built, that's only on psukim. But if it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai, so we don't use any type of methodology, we don't extend halacha based on halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So the Gemara says, I don't understand Rabbi Shimon himself who says that Tumas Mashkin is a din d'oraisa. You remember, we go back to the Braisa that we did a couple days ago, where the Braisa on the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph says that according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, liquid that comes into contact with the kli is tahor, but liquid that comes into contact with the food is tamei. The Haka Kamar Rabbi Shimon Bekelim Tamei Bekarka Tahorin.
So, and over here, on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says that when the water is in the ground in the Azara, it's Tahor.
So the Iyelcha Zehi Mali Bekelim Mali Bekarka.
So the Gemara says, now this is Halacha Moshe Misinai. What's the difference?
So the what's the difference whether the water is in a clear, whether the water is in the ground?
Kasha, the Gemara points out that that's difficult.
Amar Papa Hadamar Bekarka Tahorin
Lo Shana Olamayim. But then the Gemara goes over the explanation which we already saw together in Rashi, which is that when Rabbi Shimon says that the liquid that's in the ground is Tahor, he's not talking about water and blood. He's just talking about water. And even when it comes to water, I need a minimum amount of water, I need a revius of water. And again, we went through the Rashi, we know the punchline of the Gemara. Why should it be that water in the ground is not subject to Tumah? Answer is because it's a mikvah. The Gemara says it explicitly. Because we could tovel needles inside such a pit. But if it doesn't have a revius, then it's tamei because it can't function as a mikvah. It's not a mikvah even on a da'araisa level. And that is why, according to Rabbi Shimon, water in the azara that's in the ground is not going to be tamei simply because it serves as a mikvah. But Rabbi Shimon in general holds that mashkin are tameh, like the Brisa said on the top of the Zayin Amud Aleph, that mashkin have a din tameh d'oraisa. In fact, Rabbi Shimon agrees with the position of Rabbi Yossi that mashkin are tameh min haTorah. So that takes us through our understanding of Rabbi Shimon. So let's just quickly recap. So basically now, again, where do we stand on all this? Yossi ben Yoezer says that mashkin are tahor. Does he mean tahor legamre? So Rav says yes. Shmuel says no. Tahor just simply means mashkin becomes tamei, but it's not metamei others. The Gemara went through a number of attacks on the position of Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer and ended up defending again and again the position of Rav's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer. We went through in detail the Pesukim in Chagai, where Chagai asked a series of questions to the Kohanim. Did the Kohanim get the questions right or wrong? Subject to a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And then another machlokas that we went through is that when Yossi ben Yoezer was Metahar Mashkin, was it the mashkin that are used to clean the animal and the blood that comes out of the animal, otherwise known as water and blood? Or does mashkin mean anything going up onto the mizbech? That turned into another machlokas amongst the Omarayim. The Gemara on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph tried to connect these machlokasim together and see who can subscribe to whose position. And then finally, we had Brisa supporting the position of Rav, Brisa supporting the position of Levi. And finally, the Gemara explained the position of Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon says that water is in the Beis HaMikdash is tahor legamrei, but that's only water in the ground. And as we explained over the course of the Gemara, that's because that water is serving as a mikvah, even if it's less than mem sa'a. Adkan. To pick it up next time from the words Amar Mar, in the middle of the Amud.